The following is transcribed from an earlier network broadcast.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 9, The Girl in the Street, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie.
Just to keep the record straight, I'm Jack Packard. And the red-headed Texan seated there with his feet on the desk is Doc Long. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the A1 Detective Agency, just off Hollywood Boulevard and one flight up. Reggie York is down at the federal building getting some information on a recent smuggling activity on the Mexican border. And Mary Kay Jones, the cutest secretary in Hollywood, is with him to take down the data. That leaves Doc Long and me in the office.
I don't get it, Jack. Why you have to go sending Reggie out on cases which involves having to take along Mary Kay?
You said you didn't want that smuggling case.
Well, if I'd known it involved taking Mary Kay out for the afternoon...
Are you interested in work or in women?
Women? That's a silly question.
Yeah, I should have known better.
Ain't nothing I'm more interested in than women, and there ain't never going to be nothing I'm more interested in than women. And I just wish there was more little old female women in the world for me to be interested in.
You're wasting your time in a detective office.
Oh, I am?
If you're so all-fired interested in women...
Ain't you forgetting Mary Kay Jones?
Yeah.
Mary Kay Jones. Cutest little secretary that ever crossed her knees to hold up her dictation book. Remember her, son?
Yeah. Just your size, huh?
Jack, that gal has got just about everything a man could ever hope to expect out of life. And all tied up in one bundle as neat and as trim as 40 cents. I think he...
It was at that moment that Fred Locke entered the A1 office and started the wheels going on one of the most insane cases I ever had. It involved Mrs. John Fraser from the very beginning. Mrs. John Fraser, better known as Satin. That she wasn't killed at once is... But there was Fred Locke just entering the A1's office, and this is where it began.
I want to talk to Jack Packard.
That's me.
Privately.
This is Doc Long, one of my partners.
Alone. Private. You mind?
Well, yeah, sport. We mind a lot.
Look, you two, take a gander at this paper. Here, feast your eyes on it.
Oh.
Well, that's it.
Excuse me for being a liar. Go ahead, you two. Talk just as darn private as you want to.
Come on. Go ahead. All right, so you're a federal man. What's the pitch?
The government wants a case broken fast. It's developing right here in Los Angeles, and we've got to put a man at the head who's completely unidentified with government work.
And I'm it, huh?
Yep. You won't appear in the case much, not on the surface. But you'll be working like a two-tailed cyclone behind the scenes.
Are you in it?
I'm in it. Up to my ears.
Who else?
Satin Fraser, for one.
Who?
Satin Fraser. Mrs. John Fraser. If she comes out of this alive, she'll be the luckiest young woman ever to breathe air.
Here I am, Satin Fraser. Mrs. Johnny Fraser. Standing in the evening fog on the street corner at Muir Field in Rossmore. A June evening with the sea fog hanging among the newly leafed out trees like gray smoke. Circling around the dim street lamps like moist, glistening halos. I was all alone on the corner, just standing there, so that the headlights of the occasional traffic spotlighted me with sudden brilliance. Just now, two 15 or 16-year-old bobby soxers joined me on the corner. Their white shoes and socks looked cheap and dingy under the streetlight, and their bare ankles glistened. Their white peekaboo waists give them a naughty girl and glad of it feeling. And here comes a car.
Hi, mousemate. Going our way?
Maybe. Which way are you going?
You hear that, Jim? She wants to know which way we're going. Come on, climb in.
Okay. Come on, Julia. Well, open the door, stupid.
Here, you two girls, don't do that.
Why?
Well, do you know these boys?
What business is it of yours?
Sure, Grandma. What a big nose you got.
Well, come on, open the door.
Door don't work. Come on, Julia. I'll pull you up over. Up you go. Hey, you got a lot of girl under that kimono. All right, sweetheart, you're next.
Hey, go easy. I'm the only daughter my mother's got.
Up you come. Nothing to you but a handful of feathers. Give her the gun, Jim.
So I just stood there and watched the beginning of another sordid little tragedy of the city streets. Foolish, ignorant, tawdry little butterflies. Don't think I'm a moralist. I'm not. But as I stood there in the lights and shadows of the changing traffic, with the wet fog making my face cool and forming little beads of moisture on my eyelashes, I couldn't help thinking of my own love that glowed so warm and bright inside and contrasted so terribly with the ugly little scene I just witnessed. Uh-oh. Here's a man in uniform.
I beg your pardon.
Well?
I'm pie-eyed.
You don't need to apologize to me.
You busy this evening?
Yes.
No, that's too bad. Hey, you don't need to back up from me. I've been eating a lot of breath sweetener.
I just don't want you to fall on me.
Hey, you mind if I lean up against this electric light pole?
No.
Mm-hmm. Mind if I unbutton my blouse?
It's your blouse.
I guess I'm awfully spifflicated.
I guess you are.
Mind if I go over and lay down on that lawn over there?
Not at all. I'm sure the owners are patriotic citizens and would love to have a uniform sleep on their lawn.
Well, what's the use of being sarcastic? World's full of sarcastic people. Well, what's the use of it?
Poor kid. Probably a lonesome, unhappy boy in a strange town at loose ends. On the other hand, sometimes if you give a lonesome boy a little leeway, you don't get gratitude. All you get is trouble. I was wondering just how long I was going to have to stand here at Muirfield and Rossmore waiting when it happened.
Well, well, if it isn't our little friend Satin.
Hello, Satin.
Here, wait a minute.
Take her other arm, Ernst. Of course you're coming with us.
Let go of my arm. What are you two trying to do?
Hang on to her neck.
You don't need to be ashamed of her, Satin. We put on our dinner jackets just especially for you.
Maybe she wanted white tie and tails.
Where are you taking me? Who are you?
Satin, how can you? And after all these years.
I never saw you before in my life. Don't you know this is kidnapping? Don't you know they execute people? You two men must be insane.
All right, here's the car. Slide in the front seat between us. Ernst, you drive. I want to sit with my arm around Satin.
No, I don't want to.
Please?
You're breaking my arm. Oh, don't. I'll get in.
That's the girl. She smells nice. Ernst, why do you suppose it is that a beautiful girl always smells so much more exciting when she's in an evening gown?
It's because she is more exciting.
My brother, you're so prosaic. I've always had a sneaking suspicion that before she put on her gown, she slips into some mysterious, fragrant, invisible garment that gives her special perfume.
Who are you two? How do you know my name?
Satin Fraser? Why, we've known Satin Fraser since she was a little girl. With skinned knees and a missing tooth right in front. And pigtails down to her waist and freckles on her nose when it wasn't sunburned.
Who are you? Who are you? Either you must be crazy or I am.
That's Ernst Gorman at the wheel?
Don't let her fool you, Nick. She knows us all right.
I never heard of Ernst Gorman in my life. Who are you?
I'm his brother, Nick.
Ernst Nick Gorman. I'll remember that.
You hear that, Ernst? She's really going to carry it off, pretending not to know us.
She knows us all right.
You're trying to drive me crazy. That's what you're trying to do. You're kidnapping me and pretending something that's not so. You're trying to make me believe something I know isn't so. Maybe you're deliberately trying to drive me crazy.
Now, why doesn't she want to know us, Ernst? We're really quite presentable. Remember how we were sought after in Buenos Aires last spring? And the girls in Mexico City were mad about us.
What's the reason? There's got to be a reason. Why did two strange men kidnap a girl and try to drive her crazy?
I don't think she's listening to us.
She will, when we get her there.
hurting my arm.
I'm afraid we can't trust you, Satin. Did you notice her trying to communicate with a clerk as we came through the lobby?
Yeah, I've got the key.
I'll kill you if you don't stop hurting me. Let go of my wrist.
Right down the hall here. And that wicked, wicked attempt to attract the attention of the elevator operator.
Utterly vicious. You torture animals and love it.
Watch it, Nick. You don't make her yell before we get in the apartment.
Oh, she won't yell, will you, Satin? Get the door open. Women and children first. That's it. Now you can have your wrist all to yourself.
If you haven't torn the ligaments loose.
The same little crybaby as always, huh, Satin?
Look around. Look at the apartment. Now do you know where you are?
And who Ernst and Nick Gorman are?
Of course. It's my own apartment. How did you get a key to it?
Ernst, tell her. How did you get a key to Satin's apartment?
As though she didn't know.
I don't like the way you said that.
Oh, come on, Satin. You're not going to tell me I wasn't here in this apartment last evening.
You were not.
Then where did I get this key?
I don't know.
Don't you have a convenient memory?
No.
I'm very broad-minded. You don't need to cover up with me. If you gave Ernst a key to your apartment...
What are you people trying to do to me? What is this horrible business?
Do you deny that you flew into San Francisco from Tokyo last Friday?
No.
That you left a husband in the military diplomatic service behind in Tokyo?
No.
That you came to Los Angeles on the Lark on Sunday and reopened this apartment here in Beverly Hills Monday?
Yes, I did that.
Then give us the letter.
Letter?
The letter your husband sent home with you. The letter we are supposed to have.
Letter?
Yes, the letter. It's our letter. Your husband meant for us to have it.
No, no.
What's the idea of pretending you don't know us? Who are you saving the letter for? Who's got a better eye to it than we have?
Oh, you're all mixed up. There isn't any letter. Oh, no, my wrist. Oh, please.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Well, go find out. Invite him in.
You want me?
Of course. Your friends are our friends.
Well, all right. Oh.
Well, so you are home. I heard you were back and had opened your apartment. Hey, you don't remember me, do you? I'm Fred Locke, who had the apartment just under you.
Oh. Oh, yes, Mr. Locke. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Oh, you have company. I didn't mean
quite
to.
Quite all right. The more the merrier. We were just welcoming Satin back to the United States. I'm Nick Gorman. This is my brother, Ernst.
I'm sorry. This is Mr. Locke. He has the apartment under us. My husband and I knew him quite well before we went to Tokyo.
Yeah, yes. That's been, let's see, almost 2 years ago. You know, I came up here on a goodwill mission. Knowing you were just back and alone, I had intended asking you to have dinner with me.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I mean, how thoughtful.
Satin. And after Ernst and I...
Don't let me interfere with...
Well, it's perfectly all right. Ernst and Nick just dropped in for a cocktail.
Well, then, if you gentlemen will excuse us while...
Oh, no! Please!
Well. Mr. Locke's carrying a gun.
So, put him up to the chair while I lash his arms and legs.
What are you doing with him?
There you are.
Well, what are you doing with Mr. Locke? Mr. Locke? Mr. Locke, are you hurt?
That's the $64 question. Put a gag in his mouth before I can tell her.
Ah. Oh, he's coming out of it. He knows what's happened to him.
Well, let him mumble in his handkerchief. Tie it tight.
You criminals. Humaniacal criminals.
There, that'll do it.
Now then, Satin, darling. I'm sure you don't want to see an innocent man murdered.
What's that in your hand?
Fancy that, Ernst. Satin never saw a gun equipped with a silencer.
Silencer?
When the gun goes off, it sounds like the pop of a champagne cork.
You couldn't kill him. Not with his hands tied behind him. Not with a gag in his mouth and his feet tied to the legs of his chair.
Are your knees wobbling? Here, you'd better sit down. Fix her a cocktail, Ernst.
I could do with one myself.
Please, what's Mr. Locke to you?
Not a blessed thing. But unless you give us that letter, we're going to have to kill him to prove to you we mean business.
You wouldn't.
Come on, Satin. Be a good girl. Give us our letter.
don't know what you're talking about. I don't know you. I don't know anything about any letter.
Easy. Easy. Well, that's it, Ernst. Give her the cocktail.
Now, drink this.
No.
Drink it.
There. Now, you feel better.
What was in that cocktail?
You've got one more chance to save Locke here. One more chance. Where's the letter?
There isn't any letter. There isn't.
At the sound of the first champagne cork, Mr. Locke will have a hole in his stomach.
There is no letter.
At the sound of the second cork, Mr. Locke will be dead.
What did you put in my drink?
The letter. The letter.
I don't know. I don't know.
Poor Mr. Locke. Poor Satin. She's out. Get the ropes off Locke. Leave him sitting in the chair. I'll take care of the girl while she's unconscious.
I knew from the moment I began dreaming that it was all a dream. And if only I could wake up, everything would be all right. I was back in Tokyo saying goodbye to my love, to Johnny, to Captain John Fraser of the Occupational and Reconstruction Force. Johnny was sending me back to the United States in my dream, just as he actually did only a week ago. Here we are out at the Royal National Airport outside of Tokyo. There's the same giant DC-6 that brought me so swiftly, so gloriously back across the Pacific. And there's Captain Johnny holding me in his arms. Oh, Johnny. Oh, Johnny. It's only a dream. I know you're still in Tokyo, and I'm back in Beverly Hills, California. But before I wake up, before I stop dreaming, tell me about the letter. You didn't give me a letter, did you? There isn't any letter, is there? Why do they keep asking me for a letter? What letter? Johnny, what letter? What letter?
Mrs. Fraser. Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
I'm in charge of the apartments on this floor, and when I seen Mrs. Fraser's hall door standing open, naturally I looked in. When I seen the dead man...
Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
Naturally, I called the police.
Joe, take that woman out.
Now, look, I'm in charge of this floor.
Come on, sister.
And if Mrs. Fraser's got drunk and shot that man...
Joe, get her out of here. Call an ambulance. Looks like this girl's doped herself.
You come on, come on, come on.
You mean Mrs. Fraser shot the man and then tried to commit suicide?
Mrs. Fraser. Mrs. Fraser, wake up.
What is... Oh. A policeman.
Here. Can you sit up in bed?
A policeman?
Yeah. Put this robe around you. Yeah. Yeah, wait till I fix a pillow behind you.
What's a policeman doing in my apartment?
There you are. Now lean back.
What are you doing here?
Where there's a corpse, there's usually a policeman.
Corpse? Corpse? Then it wasn't a dream. They did kill Fred Locke.
They?
They shot Mr. Locke twice. They gave me poison to drink.
Your breath smells more like scotch.
That was poison, I tell you. The minute I swallowed it, the body is... Body.
If you look over the edge of the bed...
Oh, no.
How long have you had a gun with a silencer?
I haven't.
There was one in your hand when I came in.
What is it? What's happening to me?
I think you'd better tell me. Naturally, anything you say may be used against you.
But I don't know what it's all about. I only got home from Japan a few days ago.
Japan?
Yes. I was visiting my husband, Captain John Fraser. The next day after I opened my apartment here, Mr. Locke came to see me.
That's the name of the dead man?
Yes. Fred Locke.
Mm-hmm.
He's a member of the FBI.
What?
Yes. He said if I was patriotic and wanted to do a really important job for my country...
Hey, Joe. Joe.
Yeah?
Call the Federals. Get them up here quick.
Oh, something hot, huh?
Hurry it up. Okay, go on.
All I know is Mr. Locke said if I wanted to do the Federal Bureau a good turn, I'd put on a dinner gown and evening wraps and go to the corner of Rossmore and Muirfield Road in Hancock Park and wait.
Yeah?
Honestly.
Any particular time?
Between 9 and 10 on the evening of Wednesday the 19th. That was last night.
That's a pretty funny story, lady.
I know it. I don't understand it. All I know is I did what Mr. Locke asked me, and I was picked up by two young men in dinner clothes.
Hmm. Two?
Brothers. Nick Gorman and Ernst Gorman. They were terrible. Look at my wrist. Black and blue. They laughed when they did that. Nick said a silencer made a gun sound like a champagne cork. He said with the sound of the first champagne cork, Mr. Locke will have a hole in his stomach. There he was, gagged, tied to a chair with a hole in his stomach.
Holy jumping catfish, girl.
With the sound of the second champagne cork, Mr. Locke would be dead. And he was.
What was the idea?
That they picked me up and brought me back here to my apartment. They had my key, and when we got inside, they said they'd not harm me if I'd give them the letter.
What letter?
I don't know. They said my husband in Tokyo gave me a letter to deliver. They said the letter belonged to them.
You denied there was a letter?
But there wasn't. There never was.
And then?
That's when they turned vicious. They laughed just the same. Anyway, Mr. Locke came to the door and pretended he was an old friend of my husband's. They jumped on him and tied him to a chair and said they'd kill him unless I gave up the letter.
And you stood by and let him?
But what could I do?
Well, if I had a letter,
but there isn't any letter. There isn't. Don't you understand? There never was.
Yeah? One of the boys in the FBI. Go ahead. I'm keeping an eye on the door till the district attorney's boys get here.
Hello, Mr. Martin. I'm Jim Peters, homicide.
Yeah, I remember you, Peters.
This is Mrs. John Fraser. There's the body. Mrs. Fraser says it's what's left of Fred Locke, who told her he was a federal.
Yes. Yeah, mind if I have a look under the sheet?
No, go ahead. Anything the matter?
Yeah, must be.
Yeah?
Yeah. First place, there's nobody in the apartment named Locke. Second place, I never laid eyes on a man under this sheet before.
Well, well, Mrs. Fraser.
But he said...
Mrs. Fraser, you better climb out of bed and put on some duds.
Duds?
You don't want to go down to the station like you are, do you? You've got 5 minutes to get dressed. Don't try anything funny because every exit's guarded. You better step on it because I'm coming in 5 minutes, ready or not.
And there I was, trying to scramble into my clothes and be decent by the time the officer opened the door again. Got a belt. Lip. Oh, the one that shows. No time to change. Shoes. Stockings last, just in case. The white waist. Brown wool skirt. I wonder if it's cold in jail. Oh, loose button. Do they let you sew buttons on
morning,
in jail?
Morning, Satin.
You... How did you get in my bedroom?
Aren't you going to say hello to Ernst, too? He's behind you.
No.
No, don't turn around. Stand just as you are.
What are you trying to do to me? The police are right outside the door. All I have to do is scream.
All you have to do is scream, and your head will be split wide open.
You wouldn't.
Want to see my little hatchet?
What did I ever do to you, too? Look what you're doing to me. You kill a man before my eyes. You drug me and make it look like I did it.
Don't look so woebegone, Satin. All we want is the letter.
Letter!
One more screech out of you like that, and I'll do more than put my hand over your mouth. Promise not to lift your voice?
Yes.
Take your hand away.
Don't you understand? Please believe me. There isn't any letter. There never was a letter.
Hold her hands.
No.
Yank them behind her.
Oh, you devil.
Why, you...
I hate you.
Careful, you don't black her eye. It might not look good on the course of a suicide.
Suicide?
We want that letter, and we want it now. Unless we get it, Satin Fraser is going to jump out of that bedroom window over there.
Jump?
Yes. It's one story down to a steep slate roof, then 9 stories to the pavement. It should be spectacular.
Now, there just aren't any men like you. There can't be.
Drop 1 story to a steep roof. A nice long roll down the slates, and then out into space.
Stop it!
Satin Fraser. Suicide from bedroom window while police wait to take her in for questioning in murder.
No.
Where's the letter?
No. No, no.
Pick her up. I'll take her feet.
No. No, no.
Put your hand over her mouth.
That's so. There she wiggles like a wet fish.
I left the window open.
Head first or
feet first.
Feet first. They always drop feet first. No. All right, now.
Sir.
When I say three, one, two, three.
No! No!
And then I was over the edge. Over the edge. But I wasn't falling. I was over the edge, but I wasn't falling. My belt had caught on something. I was hanging from the eaves. Nine stories up, and I was hanging by my belt. Nine stories up. Nine stories up! I don't know you.
You're in a private room in St. Mary's Hospital. You fainted while you were hanging up there, nine stories.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It took the combined efforts of two fire department ladder companies to get you down. Your belt caught an iron vent pipe. You're a very lucky girl.
I don't know you.
I'm Jack Packard of the A1 Detective Agency, doing a job for the State Department. I have orders to say to you that your husband, Captain John Fraser, gave you a large bloodstone ring when you left Tokyo. I have orders to say that the stone is hollowed out and inside is a letter photographed on microfilm. Bloodstone and microfilm are the key words.
Why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come sooner?
Because if I'd come any sooner, we wouldn't have caught Nick and Ernst Gorman.
You caught them?
Red-handed. And the rest of the gang who are working on you.
There were others?
You didn't think those two policemen were real, did you?
Yes.
Fakes. They thought you might give the letter to the first man in police uniform you met.
But the FBI man who came in to identify Mr. Locke's body.
Another of the gang. So was a woman who said she was the housekeeper. It was all set up to make you think you were safe so you'd give up the letter.
I couldn't. Johnny said to guard it with my life.
Johnny's got a very brave young woman for a wife. If he ever does this to you again...
I don't know what's in the letter, but Johnny said we wouldn't want to live if its contents fell in wrong hands.
Johnny was right. I'm sorry I can't tell you more. You deserve to know.
I don't want to know. Why do they want to kill me? Killing me wouldn't get them the letter.
It might have prevented us from getting it. You see, there were two parts to this business. One, the delivery of the letter safely to us. Two, the capture of the Nick and Ernst Gorman gang under circumstances that would prove they were the traitors we knew them to be. That's why Fred Locke and I used you as bait.
Then Mr. Locke was a federal man.
And died.
Yes. How did Nick and Ernst know to meet me on the corner of Rossmore and Mule?
You tipped them off.
You told them I had the letter?
You were protected as long as Locke was alive, but when they put him out so ruthlessly, we did rather leave you out on a limb.
Yes, nine stories up.
I'm afraid so. The minute I learned Locke was dead, we moved in.
Here's the ring with the microfilm inside. It was on my finger all the time.
Thank you. You should be very proud.
I'm not. I'm just scared. I need Johnny.
It's a pleasure to tell you that if you can wait 3 hours, you can have Johnny.
But Johnny's in Tokyo.
Johnny was in Tokyo. Because of courage beyond the call of duty, certain people in Washington decided you needed Johnny more than the army of occupation.
Oh, I do, I do.
Yeah, the lucky dog.
You have just heard Isle of Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Next week, incident number 10, entitled The Kwong Moon Dagger, an affair of Chicago's Chinatown. Betty Lou Gerson was Satin Fraser in tonight's show. Other players included Peggy Weber, Louis Van Ruten, Russell Thorson, Lou Krugman, Frank Richards, and Dix Davis. The Girl in the Street was written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. Organ music by Rex Corey, your announcer, Jim Butters. Now, a listening reminder. High comedy and hilarious adventure go hand in hand on the wonderful Johnny Fletcher Show, starring Bill Goodwin. So stay tuned. The Johnny Fletcher Show follows next.
This program was transcribed. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.